This morning, before the 8 o'clock service, I was asked if I was going to separate them into sheep and goats. Would have been easy. I could have said, you're on my left and you're on my right, and we would have been done. But it's not quite that simple, is it? And there's a huge element of surprise in this reading that we often don't notice at first glance. Because what happens is Jesus says all of these wonderful things about the people who have taken care of Jesus, and the sheep don't know they've done it. And likewise, the goats, when they're told what they have done, so to speak, or not done, shall I say, what they have not done, who they have not cared for, they don't know that they haven't done it. Nobody actually knows in this reading of whom it was about when they either did or didn't take care of Jesus in the form of the least of those in the world around them. The goats don't see themselves as goats, and the sheep don't see themselves as sheep. So the truth is, we often have no idea which one we are. Because often in our lives, we think we have great intentions. We do have great intentions. We really care. And we do something for someone out of that care, and it really wasn't the right thing to do. It didn't come across as caring. It wasn't caring for whomever we did it for. And we thought we were being a sheep, and we turn out we're a goat. Or perhaps the opposite is true. You do something at some point, and you have no idea that it will mean anything to anyone, and later you find out that that was incredibly worthwhile and caring and changed someone's life. At coffee between the services, one of our 8 o'clock parishioners told the story of how she had just learned this a few weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. Her dad relayed a story to her that many years ago, she had been at university. And just recently, someone came up to him and said, did your daughter go to university? Did she study law? Is this her name? And he said, yes. And he said, your daughter saved my life. She didn't know what he was talking about. She was a law student. She didn't think she'd particularly saved anybody's life. But what had happened is during exams, she was a first-year student. The man who had addressed her father was a third-year student at the time, and he had run out of money and had no food and had no idea how he was going to eat for the next 3 or 4 days. As the exam, just before the exam started, and they were, I guess, maybe preparing, this parishioner brought in a Black Forest cake that she had made. When she is stressed, she cooks and bakes. And so brought in an energy food supplement for the students and shared this cake amongst them. And after the exam, she happened to choose this fellow and said to him, would you like to take the rest of it home? And he said, that saved my life. He had no food, but he lived off Black Forest cake for 3 days, finished his exams, and everyone knew the backstory. Students who are stressed and not eating, there is often an very unhealthy consequence to all that. And he said, it's no joke. She saved my life. And so we have no idea, often, which we have done. And we're not just called, of course, to do the caring for the sick, the poor, the hungry, the naked, those in prison, for those who are of us. At the beginning of this reading, it's addressed that Jesus will address all the nations. All the nations will be gathered when the reign of Christ comes. All of them will be there. But Jesus addresses those who are members of his family, those that we consider ourselves to be. But we're called not to just care for the Christians, for the Anglicans, for the members of St. John's. We are called by Jesus to care for all the world, all those whom we meet. This may harken back for some of you to the Latin cura animarum, which means the cure of souls. And today we render it more the care of souls, pastoral care. But the cure was also given to the name of not only a congregation, but to a parish, to a geographical area. And the person entrusted with the cure of souls in that area was the priest. And so it was really important that people realized, the priest realized, that the priest was not just to care for those who showed up on Sunday morning or those who gave money to the church, but for every single person in that neighborhood, in that geographical area. And so now, today, of course, we see that as our parish. And many of you have traveled across the city to come here today. You don't live in this geographical boundary. We do have a geographical boundary as a parish, but we far go beyond it with our membership. But we are particularly responsible to deal with, to love, to care those who we find within our area. And so we must remember that this parish, this care of souls, is not just for us, but for all those whom we meet. Now, we have a wide reach, and I've seen it very clearly this week in particular. There's work of caring that's done by every single one of you. Most specifically, in our structure, it rests with the Pastoral Care Committee. How many people know that we have a Pastoral Care Committee? Oh, good. That's encouraging. Excellent. And if you're visiting, it's okay that you didn't. You do now. You know now. And so we have a Pastoral Care Committee, but they take their role very seriously around education and caring for those in need, and are just reviewing their whole mandate and taking good, solid time to look at the pastoral care of our parish. And they've come up recently with a definition for us of pastoral care. The parishioners of St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church use the term pastoral care to describe activities in response to God's commandment to love one another as he has loved us. Pastoral care offers compassionate help or caring to others in the church or wider community, and may include listening, supporting, encouraging, empowering, and befriending. Many parishioners are involved in pastoral care as an essential part of their Christian life. The Pastoral Care Committee is comprised of parishioners who have been trained for pastoral care, who specifically identify pastoral care needs in the congregation, who are knowledgeable about appropriate resources inside St. John's and within the wider community, and who provide educational support to the congregation to further the work of pastoral care. The committee's activities are undertaken with the blessing and in conjunction with our clergy. The cure of souls and how we act it out in this parish. In the past week, it's been quite extraordinary to me as I was thinking of this reading today and the sermon to watch the pastoral care that happens around this place. One particular incident happened recently in the community shop, and they are always giving pastoral care to all sorts of people, and it's hard work sometimes. And there was an incident with a woman who was not about to receive any kind of pastoral care or anything pleasant, and they were doing their best, but sometimes you need a heavy to come in. And it wasn't me in this case. It was Warren, our construction manager. Warren does not go to this parish. Warren works in our building. And he's an amazing man, but he went down and helped to talk this woman down and to help her on her way and to undoubtedly help reassure those in the community shop that things would be all right. What a wonderful witness of pastoral care from someone that isn't even part of what we would call our family. Then there was Thursday when Mitzi was unwell and dying. And I was unwell, fortunately not dying, but I was very unwell on Thursday as well. And I could call people. And Mitzi was not alone. She had many of the people that were able to call at the last minute to go and be with her. And what a wonderful thing to be a priest of a parish to know that she was in good hands. I didn't have to be there. I had spoken to her on the phone, but people could be there to be with her as she died. And then, because I wasn't well, I received pastoral care. Gordon took over, and instead of me having to come in and potentially infect all of the seniors at the Eucharist on Thursday afternoon, Gordon said, "No, you stay home in bed. I'll come in and do a hymn sing and some prayers and a reading." What a chain of pastoral care. And that happens every day in this place and in our community. But we need to remember that it must keep happening and that we must support it. You see, Matthew's Jesus doesn't tell the disciples that they should do a whole bunch of things. They have to become the salt of the earth or the light of the world. What he tells them is that you are those things. We're being told this morning not to do some things, but that we are doing these things and to keep doing them. And that if we do them, we will be blessed. You see, the reign of Christ isn't about just overcoming the whole entire world and making everyone a Christian. It's more about bringing out the love and the care and the blessing that is so part of the God that we worship. God, if God reigns in our lives truly, we actually will do this without even thinking. We know that we're so deeply part of it, that we're grounded in it, that we are called to do a different thing in the world. To believe in God's reign is to realize that we are a part of it right now. It's not just in the future, not something we can hope for, not something that some of our friends who have gone before us are enjoying at the moment, but it's right now, how we decide to live, that really matters. And part of it's about giving pastoral care, and part of it is about receiving it. I think almost all of us know it's a lot harder to receive it than to give it. And yet, that is a gift that we give others. Imagine if my friend at 8 o'clock had never heard that she had saved someone's life, and she didn't know she'd done it. But that person received that gift, and then they gave another gift back and said thank you. When we receive pastoral care, it's a gift to us, but it's also a gift to our community, because it reminds all of us that we're all vulnerable, that we all need care, and that a committee may help to direct and educate and support that, but each one of us in the reign of Christ today, here and now, has an opportunity to participate in it. I don't think that Jesus is waiting for us to be ready, sitting up there going, come on, hurry up, let's go. I think that Jesus is saying, right now, get on with it. The reign of Christ lives through you every day. So grab it, take a hold of it, care for others, feed the poor, the hungry, the sick, speak to those on the street who need friends, and remember that you too need to receive such care. If we keep be mindful of that every day, every moment, we indeed will experience a different world, and God will reign indeed.